about the let me tell you about the chicken grease. Love some things to make the people get out the seat. Everybody is good if you wanna clap your hands and then come beat. Come on down to the front, but you can feel the beat. From the left to right to the back to the middle and the front.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I am your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. Every week on Hot Grease, we will bring satisfying tidbits of food culture. Our show will host real conversations from everyday people navigating our food system and weekly chats with leaders in the world of sustainable food. Today, we'll be talking Hattie Carthen Community Garden and the Hot Five with Brownstone Books. On last Tuesday, New Yorkers went to the voting polls. Several political hopefuls highlighted food justice as a priority issue. Council District 36 includes Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood, in which 13% of restaurants are fast food. Luckily, Bed-Stuy has several organizations making positive change in our food culture. In the studio, we have Yannette Fleming, founder of Hattie Carthen Community Market. Yannette, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, Bedford-Stuyvesant was home of Shirley Chisholm. Some people may know or may not know that she was the first Black woman elected to Congress and first woman to run for president on the Democratic ticket. What do you think she would have thought about Central Brooklyn's progress or lack of progress in terms of local economics and food?
Well, I think that Ms. Chisholm would be really involved today if she was here. In ensuring more access, more local access to fresh foods in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And there is some work going on. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of work going on and a lot of progress being made in the face of some very, very dismal statistics that we find in our district as far as community health, as far as lack of access to fresh food, and health disparities.
I guess I should ask this. I guess this should have been the first question. Please tell us, actually, Hattie Carthen Community Garden and Farmers Market, I guess we should say that it's located in Bedford-Stuyvesant Community, which is actually District 36.
Absolutely. So I am Yannette Fleming. I am the vice president of the Hattie Carthen Community Garden. The Hattie Carthen Community Garden was formed in 1991 and has always been a place that is multi-generational and multicultural for close to two decades in Bed-Stuy.
Okay. Well, we're going to go actually going back to Shirley Chisholm and the location of Hattie Carthen Community Garden in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. We have a quick audio from a documentary entitled Chisholm 72, directed by Shala Lynch.
And if nothing else, I'm finding all over America that people are sick and tired of the Tweedledee-Dees and the Tweedledee-Dums who constantly flip-flap from one side to another. People are interested in having candidates that are truthful. Candidates that have, if you will, just a tiny bit of morality and a tiny bit of integrity. And people that they believe they can go to sleep at night and know that they're not selling them out or selling out the communities in which they live.
How do you feel this morning?
Oh, I feel wonderful.
So tons of performing artists, visual artists, and tastemakers represent or shout out Bed-Stuy. Do you think they have a responsibility to advocate or to stimulate change in communities that are considered food deserts? And please speak on the definition of a food desert for some of our listeners who may not know.
Certainly. So a food desert is a general neighborhood that has limited or no access to fresh food. So, for example, in Bed-Stuy, we have some really daunting statistics, which I would like to share with you. So we know that in Bedford-Stuyvesant, which is in central Brooklyn, a third of the residents live in poverty.
More than 12% of the adults have diabetes compared to 8% nationwide. I really want to make you aware that in these settings, a growing body of research points to the intersection between low rates of consumption of healthy foods, such as fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and limited access to healthy choices as a driving factor for these disease rates.
Okay, so did you hear about the media coverage last week? I know the previous show here on Hot Grease, we talked about Michelle Obama and the food farmers market by the White House that was opening. It actually opened last Thursday. What did you think? What do you think? And what are your thoughts on by the White House farmers market and Michelle Obama?
I have been very excited. But I want to let you know that African people in general have always had farming as a part of their background. The primary driving factor for the reason that we might have been brought to different places because of our knowledge of how to interact with the landscape and how to farm. I was very, very elated by Michelle Obama and watching her and all of the efforts that are being made on the higher political realm to make this connection between the land and food and people, and have been watching that conversation excitedly. Here in Bedford-Stuyvesant, we have been farming, especially at the Hattie Carthen Garden, as I said, since 1991. So this certainly is not a sort of trend for us. This is a way of life. What has happened here is that I began doing activism work in my community about 7 years ago, educating the people about what it means, what the word disparity means, what it is to live in a food desert, what it is, what do we understand health to mean? Is it a set of drugs and some machines that give us tests, or is it a really organic, healthy way of life where we have relationship to the land and our food?
Quick question. What year did the garden open, actually Hattie Carthen Community Garden?
In 1991. The site was formally opened and renamed after the environmentalist Hattie Carthen.
Okay. We're actually going to take a short break, and we're going to come back more with Yannette Fleming of Hattie Carthen Community Garden, and we'll be talking the history of Miss Hattie Carthen and the garden. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. If we have any listeners, we have a live call-in number. The number is 718-497-2128. In the studio, we still have Yannette Fleming. And we're talking Hattie Carthen Community Garden. Speaking of activism, please share with us the story of Miss Hattie Carthen and the Hattie Carthen Community Garden. There's a great story behind how the garden came about.
Okay. So just to let everyone know who Hattie Carthen was, just a little bit about her and her work. That she was a woman of change, as far as I can tell, and as far as all of the signs that she has left for us to follow and the trails could tell us. Hattie Carthen was very instrumental in bringing in 1,500 trees into the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood. And I read a story quite a long time ago about when she tried to organize the community residents in Bed-Stuy and told them about bringing trees and the environmental benefits that that would have to offer us as a community. And she was met with rhetoric about, well, these trees are going to, the leaves are going to start falling and create such a big mess and give us more work than they're actually worth. The thing is, I also heard that when she started her meetings, that very few people would really show up and seed into the dream until she really went out there and involved the green groups and other environmental groups who could give voice and legs to sort of the ideas that she had around change in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And I see a lot of that reflected in the work being done today. The Hattie Carthen Garden is shy of 2 acres.
Oh, wow.
So we are located on Marcy and Clifton Avenues in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. We currently have 2/3 of the garden engaged in food production, 60 members on the books, 40 plots in our garden. The garden is also home to over 50 trees, fruit-bearing trees that we tend and take care of and utilize in our affairs that happen in the garden. Now, the market was a portioned land that was right next door to the garden.
So, now, let me understand. So, when did it started off as a passive community garden and then transitioned to the weekly farmers market? Can you clarify or talk a little bit about that?
Well, it was an active. Hattie Carthen is a very active community garden. Over the last 7 years alone, we have increased our programs in the garden around food security to sort of build community resilience in people. So the people understand health beyond machines and drugs, food beyond cornflakes and corned beef, and understand relationship and what it really means to be a community. Well, behind our garden, there was an abandoned piece of land, and that land was there for 20-something years. The neighborhood used that piece of land as a dumping place. So there were mattresses there, carcasses, syringes, overgrown weeds, metals, boilers, hazardous material, just a whole gamut of what you understand trash to be. So for years, as I worked alongside of that, I thought, how could I be a good activist? How could I talk about health and have this piece of land that is beautiful and that could be sort of tended and, could join the beauty of the land that was right beside it.
So, Yannette, you seem like a woman of many talents. How did you get involved with community gardening and specifically the Hattie Carthen Community Garden?
Well, the bigger call is the planet. As a woman, I take on a lot of understandings about the earth as a living being. And so I have been involved with drumming and music and community building and understanding ways of building connections to the earth itself. So the planet is my mandate. Once I moved to Bedford-Stuyvesant, that's around 7 or 8 years ago, I had been dreaming already in my dreams about this wonderful garden, but it was so large. It was really large. And I said, I am not sure that this could be personal land. It looked like community property. And as I was going to work one day, there was a goddess statue that was very run down and dilapidated. She was really dirty and moss covered. And I saw her through the gate and I said, oh, wow, if this if the statues and the parts that are feminine embodiments in the garden are run down, what must the women in the garden be feeling about themselves? And what must the land be feeling? And so I joined.
Wow, that's a very beautiful story. I love the great programming that you guys have in Hattie Carthen Garden, like the Salad Festival, the Herb Festival. I think you have an event coming up this weekend. How do you come up with such innovative events to be able to connect people in the earth and food and various things that when it's just not on a farmer's market or just not on planting flowers or tending to trees?
Because a part of my work has to do with how we utilize and how we cooperate with the earth. So never in my walk has it been a walk of aesthetics where I would only grow flowers. It would really have to be practical. Now, for example, the herb garden at the Hattie Carthen, I have tended that garden for the last 6 years and grow herbs, which I utilize and teach people how to move the herbs through to their diet and into medicines, massage oils, how we could use or work with the herbs to benefit us and to improve our health. So the innovation is just inside, and it's inside of all of us if we were to just move to that level where it really doesn't matter. We just have to do it.
So tell us about some of the fruits. I'm very excited about the Hattie Carthen Community Market. And tell us about the time in terms of what day of week the market is and some of the fruits and vegetables that were at this past week's farmer's market.
Okay, so you already have the history. So the market is now housed on a piece of land that used to be an abandoned lot. So here we are transforming something that was unsightly into something that is healthy and beautiful. Over the last year, I too have cultivated quite a lot of food to serve my community because the garden is also a farm. It is now classified as a farm. We accept EBT, we accept WIC, we accept senior citizens coupons. So it means that the food that we have grown there is also eligible for our community to purchase in the market. Now, last Saturday, our markets run through November 7th, and they are Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. In the market, you can expect to find a host of activities. Last Saturday, we had a wonderful, wonderful time in our market because there was so much coming up. It's such a beauty when you plant organically. So all of your produce doesn't come up really big in the first month. It just organically grows and matures, and it's that much sweeter and much more beneficial to the human body. So for example, in our market, every Fridays, I meet with a group and we harvest just like you do in a farm. We are an urban farm in the city. So we harvested chard, collard greens, hot peppers, sweet peppers, a whole host of herbs, sweet potatoes.
Wow. Sounds amazing. So tell our listeners one more time the location of the garden, the time of the farmer's market, and please very briefly, we only have a few more seconds, tell us about the event that you have this Sunday. I think you're having a drumming event or something on Sunday.
Right. So there's a lot going on always in this space, because with agriculture, it is two things: agri, the science of what is growing from the earth, and plants, and culture, meaning the food, the music, the people, and everything else that comes out of it. So I'll just give you a brief rundown because I know we're running out of time. This Saturday and every Saturday until November 7th, Clifton Avenue, next door to the garden. Bring your food stamps, bring your coupons, bring your senior citizens coupons, and come on in and eat and buy locally grown foods that were grown in your neighborhood. On Saturday, upcoming Saturday, the 26th, I will host a Cooking with Herbs workshop. In this workshop, we will talk about why herbs, why include them in our diet. Herbs have now become a few spices to us as a collective, but they're a lot more than that. On the 27th is our Harvest Drum and Movement Circle, and this is done in conjunction with the autumnal equinox celebration. I am also an ordained minister. So all seasonal gatherings are very, very important to me and to all humanity. But very important, and here's where I want to mention, on October 10th, we will dedicate and unveil the mural that was built in the market. The mural was built by the Green Gorillas and urban youths that are working in our market. So we want people to come out between 11 and 3 for a whole day of fun. We intend to have West Indian folk songs, a banjo fest. Me and my friends, you have to come out. If you have a banjo, bring your banjo too. Cooking demos, kids activities, face painting, all happening in Bed-Stuy at the Hattie Carthen Community Market.
All of that is so exciting. Yannette, thank you so much for joining us today on Hot Grease. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
I thank you so much for everything that you are doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
New York City, I don't know why I love you. Maybe it's because of you, man. Like so many others, I found it all too easy to stand off at a distance and criticize. There ain't nothing wrong with the city. Just some people been wrong there like everywhere else. In New York City, I don't know why I love you. Could be you remind me of myself. And I've been moved and criticized. And I've been pushed off to the side. Running was good, and ignoring the beatings absorbed by those who live there, and the gangsters keeping the books. No, there ain't nothing wrong with the city.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Let me give a Southern girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. In the world of disappearing independent bookstores, it is exciting to have Crystal Bob Simple, the owner of Brownstone Books, for our favorite segment, The Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorites. Crystal, thank you for joining
us.
How are you? I'm great.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So tell us about Brownstone Books and how long you've been in business and your location.
So Brownstone Books is located in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. We're at 409 Lewis Avenue. We are celebrating our 10th year in business at this location, and it feels absolutely wonderful. As you mentioned, we are one of the few independent bookstores left, well, I was going to say in Brooklyn, definitely in Brooklyn, but pretty much anywhere you go, the independent bookstore is a dying breed. So we're proud to still be around, holding up the banner for independent thought and spaces that really do create community through literature and other forms of the written and spoken word.
Great. So, all right, Crystal, hit us with your hot five and a brief synopsis of each book. I think you're going to be doing five sustainable food local books, right?
I'm doing local books. A lot of these are local authors. One is not local, but it's completely sustainable. And when I get to that one, you'll know why. At the top of my list is Mad Hungry. This is a book by a sister named Lucinda Quinn, and the subtitle of the book says it all. It's Mad Hungry, Feeding Men and Boys. Why I think this book is hot is because, well, I'm struggling with how to feed men and boys in my household. They eat a lot. It is nonstop. I have a husband and a soon-to-be 3-year-old, and it's amazing what they can pack away. I like this book because it's very easy. It talks about using farmers market and very, you know, sort of, I guess, down-home or European shopping technique, shop just for what you need and bring it all home fresh and ready to go. And, you know, when we talk about sustainable, I mean, obviously we know what the word means, but I think as a busy mom and as busy, you know, women or our heads of household, whoever's responsible for the cooking, you know, a part of being able to do the right thing when it comes to putting something on the plate for your family is being able to actually make it happen and to help them to help you. So what I like about this book, in addition to its wonderful recipes, is the fact that it talks about ways to get men and boys in the kitchen cooking for themselves and other members of their family.
And the title once again?
Mad Hungry, Feeding Men and Boys.
Okay, and number 2 on the Hot 5.
Number 2 is an old favorite. It's been recently released, but this is something that's come out of the Bay Area. It's, years in the making, decades even. It's the Moosewood Cookbook. It's a classic cookbook for vegetarians, and it includes, you know, what we talk about now as sustainability. It's just how, you know, the author, Molly Katzen, approached food, you know, for forever when the book was first introduced. So, you know, again, we're looking at a book that is nearing, I think this book is about 35 years old, and it continues to be a bestseller for us, and I'm sure, you know, all over the place. You know, it seeks to really look at the way food was being used and sort of pushed and consumed in the United States in the 1970s, and sort of just tells us to just kind of roll back. It's sort of like a precursor to I'm blanking on the book.
One of Michael Pollan's.
Yes.
So does that book have any recipes, or is it just information?
No, this one is all recipes. All recipes. So it's sort of like a precursor to the Omnivore's Dilemma. You know, it really looks at, you know, here's how you want to cook. Here's how you want to do it healthy. Here's how you want to do it natural. Here's what you can find locally. Here's what you can open up your cabinets and make happen with what you have. And here's some great substitutes for things that may not be, you know, may not be the healthiest options for you and your family. So that's the old favorite, the Moosewood Cookbook.
And number 3 and number 4?
Number 3 and number 4, Vegan Soul Kitchen. This is a relatively new book done earlier this year.
The author is
Brian Terry, and I love it because it looks at African-American cuisine, looks at your classic soul foods, and talks about ways to, one, you know, make it vegan, or you know, some, and we know what those substitutions are like, but also how to keep it fresh and how to keep it creative and still have that flavor that many of us grew up loving. So I love Brian Terry's Vegan Soul Kitchen. Again, the neighborhood where we are in Bed-Stuy, so many children, so many new families coming in. So a book that's constantly moving for us is The Sneaky Chef, and it's all about how to pack kids' foods with healthy things that they're not going to really recognize, how to put those veggies in things that, you know, are just good and attractive to them, but we know that they are going to be packed full of the good stuff that they need. And this book is one that's been around for a couple of years, but again, it continues to be a go-to book for families with really young children.
And Brownstone's book, last book on the Hot 5 list is?
I am a big fan of Food and Wine magazine. It's one of our better-selling magazines in the store. And this magazine does a cookbook each year. So you can find it. It's the Food and Wine 2009 cookbook. Very simple. Again, like I said, they do it every year. And what I like about it, it is, you know, fancy food. It's pretty food. It's fresh food. It's they use a lot of farmers market favorites. They talk about cooking only what's in season for the best taste and freshest flavor. And it looks so beautiful. You know, this is the cookbook you need if you're planning a special dinner or a dinner party or just even a girl's night in. This is a great food cookbook and, of course, the wines to match. Love it.
So, Crystal, please tell all of our listeners your location, your website, or if we needed to come pick up any one of those books, how can we order via a phone or come in the store? Please tell us.
Excellent. So once again, we're Brownstone Books, located at 409 Lewis Avenue, and we are online at brownstonebooks.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our email is info@brownstonebooks.com. Just Google us, you'll find us, and we're open 7 days a week for your shopping convenience.
Thank you so much, Crystal.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.